promise me we're going to do it again.
Let's do it again.
That's Kevin Hughes, reaching the world from Hawaii, tech genius and guru and all-around nice guy. This is Jay Fidel. We'll see you soon. Technology and
Media Wednesday with Jay Fidel of Bendett Fidel Attorneys at Law. This show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice to any listener, guest, or other party. If you need legal advice about a specific business situation, you should contact an attorney, including the attorneys at Bendett Fidel. Visit them online at hawaiipractice.com. Learn more about ThinkTech Hawaii and its mission at thinktechhawaii.com. And tune in tomorrow for ThinkTech Radio's Art and Culture Thursday.
Hawaii's Business Authority, KGU, Honolulu.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
Covering the financial and business news you need to know.
With SRN News, I'm Patrick Foss. The FBI says a man suspected of wounding a security guard at the Washington headquarters of Christian lobbying group the Family Research Council is being held on a charge of assault with a deadly weapon.
The suspect is in custody at this point and being interviewed by the FBI.
FBI spokeswoman Jacqueline McGuire, the FBI identified the suspected gunman late Wednesday as 28-year-old Floyd Lee Corkins II of Herndon, Virginia. Police said Corkins entered the lobby of the Family Research Council Wednesday morning and shot a security guard in the arm. The wounded guard and others were able to restrain him. A law enforcement official says Corkins volunteered at Community Center for Homosexual, Bisexual, and Transgender People, made a negative reference about the group's work before opening fire. The Reverend Patrick Mahoney, director of the Christian Defense Coalition, says proponents for biblical marriage should not be accused of hatred and bigotry.
We are seeing more anger, more polarization, which is leading to violence.
It's also been reported that the gunman was carrying a bag from Chick-fil-A. Also on SRNews.com, President Obama at a campaign event in Davenport, Iowa, reminds voters of his first run for the White House.
I've come here to ask you to stand with me and help me finish the job. I'm asking you to help finish what we started.
At a campaign event at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, Republican vice presidential candidate Congressman Paul Ryan says he and Mitt Romney are real leaders with new ideas.
We will earn your support. We will deserve victory. Because when we win, then we will have the obligation, the mandate, and the moral authority to get this country back on the right track.
An unexpected drop in U.S. crude oil inventories has pushed the price of oil higher. Benchmark crude rose 90 cents to finish at $94.33 per barrel in New York, the highest since mid-May. This is SRN News.
I want to tell you about a movie that can change history. It's 2016 by best-selling author Dinesh D'Souza and Gerald Molin, producer of Schindler's List. It reveals for the first time the real President Obama and where he wants to take America in the next 4 years. The movie explains why he wants to downsize America and replace the American dream with a dream from his father. Why he wants to redistribute wealth and power away from America and toward the rest of the world. This is a game-changing film, one I urge you to see. To learn more, go to 2016themovie.com. It's the film the White House doesn't want you to see. It's the story the media refuses to tell. Go to 2016themovie.com. That's 2016themovie.com. Help restore the American dream. Go see 2016.
Now playing in theaters. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This week, Acura of Honolulu and Automart USA proudly announced a salute to our military, an exciting event to welcome home our returning service members and thank all of our active duty retired military and their families for their service and sacrifice. Visit our stores and receive the special treatment you deserve, a $500 accessories allowance to dress up your new Acura with finance rates as low as 0.9% APR, or browse our huge inventory of pre-owned cars and get $500 off our lowest website pricing. With your new Acura, you'll get free oil change for 2 years. And with every car sold to our military, we'll donate $100 to the Wounded Warrior Project to assist the soldiers who need it most. We'll have food trucks, fun, and a chance to win a new iPad 2 or a Neighbor Island Sweetheart getaway to reunite a lucky couple. Military appreciation comes standard at Acura of Honolulu and Automart USA every day, not just 1 month out of the year. So don't wait. Stop by our easy-to-find locations today on Ala Moana Boulevard and get the special benefits you've earned.
Talk about experience. For nearly 30 years, DHX, Dependable Hawaiian Express, has successfully handled transportation services to and from Hawaii. Our employees know all the ropes. We're dedicated people working with a sense of urgency and care. We operate our own trucks in Honolulu, Maui, the Big Island, American Samoa, and Guam, so you can be confident of on-time, safe, and seamless ocean and air freight service. Next time, call the experienced people at DHX, Dependable Hawaiian Express, and relax. We're dependable from start to finish.
Aloha, Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy here. A breath of fresh air is what you need on your afternoon drive home, not the boring windbags. Can I say that? Tune in Monday through Friday. That's Hawaii's Tomorrow, 5 to 6 p.m., 760 KGU. Aloha.
Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy, presents Hawaii's Tomorrow, a series of discussions about Hawaii's business future, led by experts in their respective fields. Today's contributing host is the man himself, Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy.
Those apples. I tell you what, I've got my brand new guitar Lely I've been threatening to do that to you with recently from Kanalea Ukulele, bless their hearts. And I want to thank them for that. Sponsors of my show. I'm sitting here, this beautiful Koa instrument. And I think it really brings across the nature of the show we're about to do today, with the beauty of that music in relationship to the discussion we're just about to have. I'll let it out of the bag. We're going to be talking again from the research vessel Hi'i Alakai, approximately 800 to 1,000 miles northwest of us here. And of course, my marine biology co-host Carly Weiner will be joining us, along with some other guests. Before I do that, I want to thank my guests from yesterday. Now, if you caught my show, I don't know how the sound was, but how fun was that? Did you notice I was excited? I'm in a room full of all the rocket science in the planet at the Asian Pacific Clean Energy Summit. Very illuminating, very interesting, very wonderful. Thanks to all of you for helping. Of course, Ray Starling, I opened it. He is the CEO for the big cheese at Hawaii Energy. That's the rebate program. People who give you $750 to get solar water heaters from yours truly. They give you money to buy CFL light bulbs. They'll give you money for an energy-efficient refrigerator. Ray will be on the show tomorrow for a full hour. He's coming into the studio. Very, very important aspect of our lives, energy. And another aspect, a very, 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 very important aspect of our lives is the health of the oceans. In this case, the oceans around and constituting our state. Before, again, I introduce our wonderful guests, let me say that... A letter to the editor today, fish stocks along coasts dwindling. Well, you don't have to write a letter to the editor to get that word out. If you're anybody who gets in the ocean or goes, I'm a spear fisherman myself, although I never get in the water in Hawaii because there's no fish. Even on Lanai, when I went over there, no fish, basically. That's wrong, 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 wrong. Let's go to Hanama Bay and see what it's supposed to look like, and think how many tourists would flock to Hawaii if they could jump in the water off Diamond Head, off every beach in the state, and see that type of a variety. So let's talk about it. And with that, here to help us educate, first of all, let me introduce my guest in the studio, Mr. Andy Collins. Are you a doctor, Andy?
No, not yet.
Okay, keep at it. Education and Technology Coordinator for the Marine Sanctuary up north, and I'll say it. Are you ready for me to say it? Papahanaumokuakea.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not bad for a first time. And I guess that's your karma that they named it that. So, because you're the guy who has to say that all the time.
I got it down.
Let me hear you.
Papahanaumokuakea.
Let's have a contest. Carly Weiner, again, the COSEAS, that's Island Earth and Center for Ocean Science and Education Excellence, a big mouthful. Basically, NOAA and UH combined. Carly, welcome back to our show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Aloha. And of course, Aloha. Carly, tell us, let me hear you say it.
Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument.
Well, you know, she has just a cuter
voice. Yeah, she's got it down.
Okay.
But she's there, so it helps.
Well, she's there. Tell us where you are, Carly. Give us a little update for people who may not know what we're talking about here.
So, the monument is also known as the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands, and I've had the pleasure of being up here for the last 50 days on a research expedition with NOAA, doing the education and outreach. And we are currently at Surrey Atoll, which is actually the northernmost atoll in the chain. And we're this evening turning back around and heading down towards Lisianski for a few days, for a couple more days of field operations and diving, and then heading back to Oahu on the 24th of August.
And that'll complete a 24-day trip, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. For those of you who want the short version out there, and aloha to everyone listening, every island, thanks for your support. Tell a friend. She's out on a research vessel with 40 other folks, 20 of them scientists, 20 of them crew, quite a large boat. I presume it's metal hold. And again, that is the Hi'i Alakai. And it's the yearly, what describe it for me, please. Again, Andy Collins from UH.
Yeah, it's the annual research and monitoring program cruise. So we go up there and we look at the health of coral reefs, algae populations, fish populations, so we can have a baseline of what's going on up there and what's there.
Roughly 800 to 1,000 miles out there as we speak, Carly?
Yes, that's correct.
For those of you to put it in perspective, that's a very large vessel, and if it started going at full speed, it'd probably be here in 3.5 days.
Well, 10 knots, so it doesn't go very fast.
Oh, 4 days then. We used to go, Carly, you know, I used to fish up there, and we'd go down, which is a nice run, and we're sailing and motoring. But then once we fill up with those extra tons and tons of fish and turn around, sail into the wind and motor into the wind, it's a tough go. You enjoyed this trip, Carly, so far? You've been out there 15 days, you said?
Yeah, I would say it's just been the best 15 days of my life. I mean, nothing compares to the ocean out here. I mean, nothing in the world.
Tell us why. Try to paint us a picture. Give us your best shot.
So, you know, when you go surfing or swimming or diving or spearfishing or whatever in the main Hawaiian Islands, it's nice. I mean, just as a general rule of thumb, it is gorgeous. It's beautiful. I'm happy to be in the water there. But you have not experienced anything until you some of the reefs off of the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands, which you can easily do on our website or through photographs. But, I mean, it really is amazing to see what a difference a protected area makes. I mean, the abundance, the numbers of fish, the variety. It's just unbelievable. The water here, we've had beautiful weather the last 3 days, so it has been, like, perfect visibility, calm seas, glass-like conditions. I mean, you jump in the water, you're seeing Olua, you're seeing sharks, you're seeing manta rays, you're seeing dolphins, you're seeing monk seals. I mean, it is just unbelievable.
Okay, so let me see now. I presume, how long is the Hi'i Alakai?
The boat itself is 230 feet.
Okay, so obviously they're sitting out in deep water drifting. I assume they launch Zodiacs and you guys get into water that's shallow enough to dive in. Is that how it works?
That's correct, yeah. So our divers are...
I hate when that happens.
That are 40 feet to 90 feet in depth.
Right, and then okay, you're at Kuri Atoll. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything above water there?
Yes, actually, and we had an opportunity to go visit Green Island yesterday, which is one of the small sand islands at Surrey, and they're doing some amazing restoration work out there with some invasive plants, particularly a plant called verbena. And that is a real problem for a lot of the seabirds out here. It's one of the largest tropical seabird rookeries in the world. I mean, there are tons of seabirds. And it causes a huge problem. And these four dedicated volunteers are just helping to remove a lot of this invasive plant so the seabirds can fledge and reproduce.
Now, when you say volunteers, you're telling me four people are living out there?
There are five people out there right now, and they are a state employee who's running the operation, and a few volunteers that are there for a short field season to help remove some of the invasive.
Now, I presume those are the guys that were on top of their house when the tsunami was about to wash through there, possibly.
Yeah, they weren't there then, but yeah.
They evacuated them in time?
I don't think the camp was active at that time.
No, it was. I remember reading a newspaper article about these poor guys up in the islands.
Turn Island, yeah. They were on top of on the roof at Turn Island. I can't remember what happened at Curie, but I don't think they had a run-up.
And then just as bringing up that subject, we didn't get hit by that tsunami as far as it didn't do any damage in the Northwest?
Midway it did, yeah. 250,000 birds died from flooding at particularly on Eastern Island and some on Sand Island.
And then why didn't it have any effect on the rest of the stuff, such as French Frigate and whatnot?
It's just the dynamics of the atolls and the shape of the islands.
Didn't hit. And then on that same subject, Carly, you know, this trash debris from the Japan tsunami, that all the stuff that got washed back, they're finding this and that, houses and whatnot, floating out around into the ocean. Have you seen any of that up there?
We have not seen any of the debris from the tsunami up here. And, I mean, just based on where the Northwesterns are located, they are susceptible to marine debris from the North Pacific Gyre. And so we do see, when we went on island yesterday, you'll see a lot of plastics. And it's a very sobering reminder of how we live our life and, really trying to reduce our use of bottles and plastic, because you see it in tons up here.
Well, take it in the extremes. So here we are, because of the right thing to do, we've made a sanctuary out of what before was quote-unquote unprotected. Is that all right, Andy?
It was somewhat protected, but not to the extent that it is today.
And then when we look at the alternative, we were just talking about the famous trash can of the Pacific. There's a little whirlpool out there between here and Oregon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the famous gyre, or the garbage patch.
The garbage patch, where, has anybody done any of the math as far as if you were able to clean all that up and put it up in a pile, how big the pile would be?
I haven't seen that exact statistic, but I've seen statistics of how long it would take if you had X number of ships, a year trolling back and forth, and the effort that would take and the amount of fuel that would take. And it is phenomenal. It was 100 and something ships over the course of a year, and it just is something that couldn't be done.
No, yeah, exactly. And then, I asked you earlier, I said, we dodged a bullet apparently with this trash due to the currents that went above us. And then you said, yeah, but it's coming back. So it turns out that this amount of trash is going to end up into the garbage patch. Is that whatever doesn't get washed up on the West Coast?
A large percentage of it will.
And then I said, well, my Lord, that's amazing. You said it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket of what's out there.
Yeah.
So to put it into perspective, what's out in the quote-unquote garbage patch where humans have had their way with it, without any rules, without any sustainable approaches to preserving the health of our marine life, of our oceans, for Christ's sake. Basically, the oceans are our lungs due to the fact that algae is absorbing all this CO2 and emitting oxygen. And it's a drop in the bucket, this big talk about all this stuff that got, drop in the bucket.
I mean, it's certainly a concern, but there's so much plastic already in the ocean that, in a sense, it's a drop in the bucket. I mean, there's so much trash already out there.
Okay, let's talk about something nice. Let's talk about Carly and her other 20 people that are up there. 1,000 miles northwest as I speak right now. Carly, when I get back, I want to hear some more of your emotional feelings about this. And then go ahead and take us into the nuts and the bolts of what's being accomplished. Would you mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Carly Weiner. And she is my co-host when it comes to the archipelago and the health of the oceans around it. And she's getting paid to do that by the Kosi Island Earth Center Coordination for Ocean Science Education and Excellence. Basically, if I'm not mistaken, Andy, that is NOAA and UH in conjunction to educate the public about what's happening.
I'll let Carly explain it, but she also works for Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. But Carly might.
Okay, and I've got Andy Collins here in the studio now. You're the education coordinator for the Northwest Preserve. You notice how I ran sure around did. The Papahanaumoku Kagea. And you've been there for the full 11 years. Were there?
Yep.
I presume you were there when, who did? Akaka
Clinton.
Or whoever?
Originally, Clinton created the reserve, Northwestern Hawaiian Islands.
And they came out and dropped a layover somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been up there 10 trips. You spent over a year and a half of your life up there, education programs. Welcome to my show, because that's exactly what I do as well.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We don't pay you, but...
It's okay.
Nobody pays me. Your solar guy, Jeff Davis, I am going out. And if you want to talk to Carly, our phone in number is 296-5467, 296-5467. This show is brought to you as an educational tool, and it is sponsored by people who pay an insignificant amount of money, but it's enough to help me pay for the airtime. That would include Blue Planet Foundation. Hank's coming in soon. Young Brothers Barge, Green Sun Hawaii. You'll hear about them on the break. Credit enhancement loan guarantees for photovoltaic purchases. Along those lines, the UH Credit Union as well, home of the 199 home equity loan, which is a beautiful thing if you need a PV loan, by all means. I've got DR Horton Schuler Homes helping us out. Solar Services Hawaii, the little company, quote-unquote, 23 years now of installation on Oahu. I'd like to thank R&R Solar Supply, Inner Island Solar Supply, and, of course, Kona Red. I'm drinking a bottle of it right now. This is the Hawaiian Superfruit Antioxidant Juice. Natural Energy Laboratories in Kona. That is the NREL place, gang, where they're bringing that cool water up. Joe Van Rysen, Mackay Ocean Engineering, dropped them a little pipe one day in 1978, and they've got access to nutrient-rich, million-year-old deep seawater. Very cold, very nutritious. It's a beautiful thing, and they'll help sponsor the show. And, of course, you'll hear Guy Toyama. Come on and educate. That's what we do. We educate. Again, you want to speak with Cardi? Or if you'd like to talk to Andy, if you have a question about that, 296-5467. I'll be back, and I'm your solar guy, Jeff Davis. Aloha.
760 KGU,
part of the Wall Street Business Network.
Conditions are normal going east to Hawaii Kai and over to the windward side. The problem is going west because of earlier stalls and an accident. The H1 is backed up to the east end of the airport viaduct. The Moanalua backed up all the way to Middle Street, so allow extra time. Oh, and if you're taking Kamehameha Highway through Pearl Ridge and Waimalu, it's packed and slow, too. It's backed up by Pearl Harbor before the stadium. One new stall, H1 Evabound at Vineyard.
280,000 acres. That's the size of Molokai, Lanai, and Kaho'olawe put together. It's also the amount of the prime farmable ag land designated in Hawaii. 280,000 acres. That's a lot of prime farmable ag land, and it needs to be preserved for agriculture. Aloha, I'm Dean Okimoto of Nalo Farms, and this fact is brought to you by Ho'opili, a new community where commercial farms, neighborhood, and home gardens will be part of the community's design. And there's so much more. Log on to www.ho'opilioahu.com.
Over the past century, more than 90% of koa forests in Hawaii have disappeared as tropical hardwood prices have skyrocketed. Hawaii's koa forests are an important part of our ecosystem and a symbol of our island heritage. Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Hawaii's Tomorrow need your help to repopulate 1,000 acres on the Big Island with new koa trees. For $60, you can sponsor your very own koa legacy tree on the slopes of Mauna Kea. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Along with a beautifully engraved personalized certificate, $20 will also be donated to the charity or organization of your choice. Gift a gift that grows grander year after year. And see how simple the act of planting a tree can change the face of the planet. To plant your Hawaiian Koa Legacy Tree, go to hawaiistomorrow.com and click on the Legacy Tree icon. Again, hawaiistomorrow.com. That's Hawaii's with an S, tomorrow.com.
Aloha, it's Jeff. Is it hotter in your home than out on your lanai? Do you wish there was an energy-efficient way to cool down? Wouldn't it be nice to turn on the trays at the flip of a switch? Well, my friends at Island Cooling have been quietly promoting the energy-efficient whole house fan for years. It works by drawing fresh air through your home, pushing the hot air out through your attic. Call the Whole House Fan experts at Island Cooling, 672-2300, 672-2300, or go to islandcooling.com. Aloha.
If you would like to join Jeff Davis and his guests on the air, call now at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now back to the Solar Guy.
You're listening to Hawaii's Tomorrow with Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy.
Well, you had to stop. That was my guest today in the studio. Not doctor yet, Andy Collins, and again, education and technology coordinator for the Marine Monument that we're doing our show here from today. And that, of course, Cardi Weiner, who's on the phone with us, I'm looking at him, make sure he doesn't drop my brand new guitar lily. That's a six-string ukulele he was playing. Andy, you told me you're a guitarist. I handed you that thing. How do you like that instrument?
That's sweet. It's nice. Nice and portable. It sounds great.
It is a beautiful thing. And Connor Leia, sponsors of the show, and just a man. Of course, I brought Joe in, Joe Souza, the owner, because he's the guy who came up and dreamed that up and pushed through the R&D on it.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. And now guitarists worldwide can play and have an ukulele sound and feel that difference in that emotion without having to learn new chords.
Yeah, it's got a nice wide fretboard and everything.
Yep, it's really fun to play. And then again, as you well know, I've got Cardi Weiner. She's up north, 1,000 miles out on the research vessel with us. Cardi, can you hear me well?
I can hear you loud and clear.
And in her cohort, Andy Collins, education coordinator for the monument. So, Andy, do you actually tour about and go from place to place and try and educate people on what's happening up there?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I'll be at Kailua Sailboards tomorrow night talking about marine debris.
Well, my question is why? Why would you want to go out and educate about something such as that?
We've got to know what's out there. And in order to love and change the way we are, we've got to know what's out there and love it. And
right now, you got a bunch of scientists up there who can find all that out. Why does it matter to go out and talk to the unwashed masses about it?
You've got to share what they find. That's the most important part, is spreading what they find, because that's how we're going to change our behavior. We got to know what's happening in order to change what we're doing to better the environment.
Thanks for saying that for me. And I want to talk to somebody who I'm not surprised called in, because if I'm not mistaken, John Carroll has opened up some of these laws that and whatnot. John, welcome to the show. Aloha.
Aloha.
You're giving us a call. What's that have to do with today?
Well, Jeff, I'm so excited that hear anybody talking about the Leeward Islands. I was up there in 72 after I introduced the first monk seal and green sea turtle protection, and I just wanted to ask what the turtle and the monk seal populations look like and what's happening with this decline of the monk seal puppy population. I understand it's been a kind of a drastic drop, and I know they had an attempt to put in a preserve. And apparently my former opponent, Mrs. Lingle, has to come out against that. I was interested in that. But before I go off, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for the tremendous help you gave me in that campaign. And I'm going to groom you now to be our next U.S. Senator.
Aloha. Thanks for that, John. So, okay. So, Carly, and maybe this would be for Andy, because, Carly, I know you're up there for the annual reef health checkup. But, Andy, what do you know about the seal issue? I know I read some articles on this.
Well, he's certainly correct. The population in northwestern Hawaiian Islands is declining, and we have a lot of different management practices in place to try to help that. We're relocating some seals to other places where we know they're not as heavily predated upon by sharks, or where they can gather food better. So relocating some seals from French frigate shoals to further north up the chain. The National Marine Fisheries Service is doing that, and we're also studying the problem and trying to figure out exactly how to deal with it. A lot of the components of the problem, we don't know why their population is fully declining.
Right,
there's some
there.
Parts we do.
First of all, if the things are preserved, then the stock should come back and there should be more food, but that's not showing up in this birth rate or whatnot, survival rates. And then they had some psychopathic seal killing other baby seals. they managed to get him out of the picture.
Yeah, certainly have a little bit of that.
And then I figured this French frigate thing, because these sharks have been trained for thousands of years to go there for lunch every mating season.
They go after the albatross for sure. I just witnessed that a month ago.
You were up there?
Uh-huh, I was up there with a BBC crew.
And they're sitting there waiting for the babies to get in the water, and they just swallow them
the
like popcorn.
The sharks line right up like they're on a smorgasbord. They know when the birds are in the lagoon, and they're ready to go after them.
They've got a little ticker in their
pretty
DNA.
Pretty impressive.
It is. And, you know, I saw a National Geographic or somebody went in there in the water with those things that were eating the birds.
Sharks are all about the birds. They don't even see what else is in the water.
So you went in the water, too?
We had divers in the water. I was on land, but
weren't you tempted to throw on this snort mask and snorkel? Cardi, would you jump out there with a mask and snorkel just to have that issue of watching 15-foot tigers swim right next to you?
You know, to be honest, I have no problem being in water with the sharks. The Alua that really scare me the most.
The white Alua?
They're intimidating.
The 120-pounders, those?
They're the same size as we are, and they, you know, they can be somewhat
And they have a pissed off, really mean look on their face. Those fish are brutal. They're not used to being pushed around.
They're primordial
sure.
looking.
But, you know, it's not just the sharks that eat the birds. We were on Turn Island not too long ago at French Frigate Shoals, and we saw frigate birds swallow a whole bird whole, like right in front of us.
Those frigate birds are brutal.
They go after anything.
Yeah, they are carnivores. Okay, so I'm under the impression that they were considering, or have you guys already been moving the seals into our islands? For some strange reason, they do better where there's people?
I don't have the figures on that, so I really can't.
I mean, there's
speak
no fish around here, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of human interaction and boats and watercraft and whatnot, but somehow the seals do better here, is what I've understood. Carney, what do you know about that?
Well, I don't know too much about the monk seal, so I don't want to.
Okay, let's change subject. Talk about you. You're up there. You're 1,000 miles out at Curie Atoll. You guys are doing your studies on coral. You're doing your studies on algae. You're doing your studies on what else was there, Andy, you mentioned?
Algae, coral, fish populations, coral health, coral, mainly those studies.
Okay, and then, of course, what have you got for us? Educate us, Carney.
Well, it's been a really great trip so far. So not only is the Reef Assessment Monitoring Program who is looking at all the things Andy just mentioned, we also have some budding young scientists on board. We have PhD students and some other students who are doing their research, and they're doing some really interesting work on the coral reef and also the acoustics on the reef.
Who did you say the student was? Megan Onuma?
So we have Megan Onuma with us today, but we also have other students on board from Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology.
I tell you what, before we speak with Megan, I want to ask you, is this a way of getting free labor? Is this a way of stoking their passion for their careers? Or are they out there doing hard science and necessarily collecting data?
Well, I think just the experience of being out here naturally is going to stoke them for life on what they're doing. But the research that they're doing is very important. All of the research that Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology does in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands is done on an ecosystem level so that it can help influence management. So all this information is important for managers to know so they can understand what's up here and understand how to better protect it. So the data that they're collecting is going to be integral in helping people understand what the ecosystem.
Okay, I tell you what, let's speak to her before I go to my next traffic break. I've also got another caller coming in. Lester, I'll talk to you on the break and find out what you need and maybe get you on the air. But do you have one of these students available for us right now? Because I'm interested in that.
I don't have, unfortunately, I was going to have a couple of our PhD students come chat with us, but they actually got stuck out in the field. So they're still on the small boats and didn't get in time. But we can definitely bring them onto the show at a later date.
No problem.
I do have Megan. Pardon me?
Go ahead.
But I do have Megan Onuma with me here.
Yeah, put her on.
She's actually just starting her career in marine science, and she's been pretty excited about the experience. So let's put her on the phone with you right now.
Okay, aloha, Megan.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Hey, Megan.
Megan, aloha, and then you are a student. What year student are you at the Windward Community College?
Actually, I already have my bachelor's, but in foreign languages, so I'm coming back to school in order to get some prerequisites done, and I'm hoping to get my master's in marine science or a related field after.
Well, do you speak, and your foreign languages, do you speak Opakapaka, Onaga, Olua? What do they teach you?
Actually, I speak Spanish and Japanese.
Oh, Japanese might help out there.
She's from the thriving metropolis of Lanai.
Oh, yeah.
Just talking about that earlier.
A thriving metropolis of Lanai, where I went spearfishing. I took a sailboat over there, and there wasn't that many fish anyway. I'm concerned. Are you originally from Lanai?
I am, yeah. I am originally from Lanai, raised there.
Well, that's what we need. We need more people from that are close to the earth and close to the ocean like that, mm-hmm. but as you raised on Lanai, to get into the science, I believe. What do you think?
You guys are coming in pretty toppy right now.
Is that right? Are we breaking in and up for you? Okay, do your best.
Now, you guys now.
Megan, what is the most amazing thing that you've seen up there?
Oh, my goodness. I have seen some pretty amazing things. I don't know that I can put
one on the list.
How about this? If you're going to dodge the question. Okay, go for it.
I've seen, schools Ulua easily 30 or 40 Ulua literally train up the divers and swim around us. Just magnificent, huge animals. Very good example of what can happen.
Uh-oh, they're either down in a really big trough or we're having technical difficulties. Andy, again, Andy Collins, education coordinator for the National Monument up north, mm-hmm. in the studio here, and I'm wondering, have made 10 trips up there, and I'm curious, what's it like on a boat with that many people? Does it turn into the reality TV show we see on TV where how do these scientists get along? Is it a happy day?
It's good. I mean, basically, as long as the galley is functioning fine, everybody's like G. That. But
you what, before I go to break, Lester's been hanging on. Lester, aloha. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, solar guy.
Aloha.
This is Lester from Kailua.
Okay, Lester, nice to hear from you. You have a question for our fish scientists?
I sure do, bro. I was wondering, there's a lot of confusion among us fishermen about whether it's possible to go fishing up there in that sanctuary. Is it just a lot of paperwork to get a license or a permit?
Let me help you out. It's illegal. Even these marine biologists are not allowed to harvest a single bloody lobster. To me, it's almost criminal that these guys who are up there can't do the normal thing which human beings have been taught to do and go get some food. There's plenty of it. This research vessel's not going to wipe it out. But they like to make a point of themselves being nailed to a cross, so no, you are not allowed to go fishing up there, dude. And I'm sorry to hear it. I've been there for a year and a half of my life, brother. I fished up there. Don't tell anybody, but I fished in French Frigate Shoal inside the reef. Mm-hmm. And I was standing on a transom with a little rod and reel just pulling a lure as fast as they would come.
Which is pretty fast. There's a lot of them.
Oh, no. You see them eat the bait.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it's fish in heaven.
Oh, my God. Brother, we pull in 120 Ono a day.
Wow.
And that was at French Frigate, too. They're schooling out there, and you find them, you know, and then you just run over the ball all day long and troll for them, pull them on the boat. No, I'm not there now. Carly's up there. I hope they can hear us now. We had lost them for a second.
Well, if I understand what you just said, those scientists go up there for 30 days, and they can't eat any fresh fish?
Tell me, brother, I asked them last time, they're eating out of the freezer. That's inhumane.
cans.
You're in this paradise, and you're eating canned?
That's why they won't let me go up there, because they know I'll break the rules. I'll be eating the... I'd pull the bug up, I'd get the lobster up to the surface, tear its head off, eat the sucker raw. I would do something bad like that, because it's just too much common sense. I'm voting for an exemption for the research people to be able to eat fresh fish. It's cruelty to animal not to.
That's only right.
Does that answer your question, Lester?
Yes, it does. So Lester the fisherman can't go and fish there, but neither can the scientists.
That's stupid, yeah. I tell you what, Lester the fisherman, I'm the solar guy. If you need any solar, you get back to me on my cell phone. Okay, thanks a lot, Lester. We're going back out to break our next and last traffic update. And as the phone looks to me like I've got Carly and Megan back on 1,000 miles out in the Northwest Archipelago, sitting here with Andy Collins, he's in front of me. We're both high and dry, education coordinator for the National Monument since its inception,
since the beginning,
11
yeah.
years. This is fascinating stuff. And I will be back after this last break, and it would be paid for and sponsored by Island Cooling. These folks will cool your house off with a whole house attic fan. Very inexpensive. Tom Maffa Productions. Tom's got Geronimo and Bautista coming in. And since Hawaii's 27% Filipino in population, it's going to fill up the Blaisdell. Focused Energy, providers of photovoltaics. Hawaii Nano Glass Coating. This is I've got some on a solar panel yesterday to see how it compares to the panel next to it, to see if this coating is going to increase efficiency enough. Again, Honolulu Weekly. Support Lori Carlson and the Weekly. They do a great service to Hawaii. Solar Training Institute. I would like to thank Edible Hawaiian Islands, the best magazine around food that I've seen in Hawaii. Edible Hawaii Islands, you'll see them. Of course, Conalea Guitars. Lumen Solar, and they'll be on the show Friday with Whole Foods. We're going to be talking about how they air-conditioned their entire Kailua store with sunlight. from Solar Air Conditioning. Of course, the Manila Hotel. The Manila Hotel. If you go to Manila, be sure you stay there because you haven't seen Manila and its grandeur. It's 100 years old, Andy.
Wow.
And they sponsor That's my show, and bless their hearts, I go over there. They throw me in there for free, and we talk about, well, the relationships. Yeah? 27% Pinoy in Hawaii. I'm your solar guy, Jeff Davis. 554-7200 if you need me concerning solar or ideas for my show. And by the way, Andy, as I mentioned, I need a paid intern. Anybody out there know somebody who can do my job? Give me a call. Be right back. And aloha.
760 KGU.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
Conditions are normal going east to Hawaii Kai and over to the windward side. The problem is going west because of earlier stalls and an accident. The H1 is backed up to the east end of the airport viaduct. The Moanalua backed up all the way to Middle Street, so allow extra time. Oh, and if you're taking Kamehameha Highway through Pearl Ridge and Waimalu, it's packed and slow, too. It's backed up by Pearl Harbor before the stadium. One new stall, H1 Evabound at Vineyard.
Want to go green for your home or business? Hawaii Community Reinvestment Corporation introduces its new Green Sun Hawaii program, an innovative public-private partnership to make energy improvements affordable for everyone. Green Sun Hawaii gives you the power to significantly reduce your utility bill. Visit Hawaii National Bank or other participating lenders or one of the many authorized energy contractors for more information. Or visit greensunhawaii.com and click on the easy-to-use loan application.
Aloha! This is the solar guy, Jeff Davis. The solar industry has changed enormously in the last 3 years. So many companies have entered the market that one of the most asked questions I hear is, what makes your company different? Solar Services Hawaii has been serving Oahu and neighbor islands for more than 20 years. Solar Services was awarded the best inspection rate statewide from the Hot Water Rebate Program. We were number one. Solar Services is a local family company. We recognize the need for service with Aloha. I personally have given a class for the IRS. I've lectured many, including two luncheons with the National Association of Tax Preparers. Roof penetration and tax issues are my focus. For all solar products, meaning hot water, photovoltaic, pool and spa heating, solar pool pumps, solar attic fans, you name it. We specialize in photovoltaics and hot water, and of course a free estimate is available. Just call my phone, Jeff Davis the Solar Guy, at 554-7200. That's 554-7200. You have a great day and aloha.
This is Chief Louis Kealoha of the Honolulu Police Department. As part of the HPD's Safer Roads program, our officers are enforcing traffic laws 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But we need your help. A few common sense choices can make a big difference. Stay within posted speed limits, use a hands-free cell phone device when driving, look out for pedestrians, and have a designated driver if you drink. Together, we can make Oahu's road safer and save lives. Aloha.
If you would like to join Jeff Davis and his guests on the air, call now at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now back to the Solar Guy.
You're listening to Hawaii's Tomorrow with Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy.
Going fishing, fish, fish, fishing, not up north in the monument. Can't go fishing, I was wishing to eat a paka paka tonight. No fishing, no fishing. Let's talk about that, no fishing. We were just talking about that on the break, Cardi, about the necessity of having rules in order to be sustainable. And I suppose that all the data that you folks are up there collecting is what's going to make the case for that in court and in the public eye. Is that correct?
Well, it's not just about the fish. It's about the entire ecosystem, Jeff. It's not, you know, there are a lot of other things besides the fish that make up the healthy reef system here. So it's mostly coral and even the small things, the microbes, those are all important factors in the entire ecosystem.
I'm telling you. I just can't eat coral, so I'm a little bit focused on the fish, but Let's go ahead, and when I left, you know, again, talking again with Carly Weiner, she is my co-host when it comes to marine biology and the health of our archipelago's oceans and reef systems, and you're up in the Northwest Archipelago, currently at Curry Atoll, doing the yearly annual, how would you describe it, Andy, the annual?
A reef assessment and monitoring cruise.
Expedition to monitor the health of the reef. And
yeah,
collect
get a
data.
Baseline and figure out what's there, what's not there, and so we know what changes over time.
Carly mentioned that every year, of course, then some students go up there, and we were talking with Megan. Megan, are you there?
Megan's here, and actually we also have Maya, one of the other students who just came back, literally, she's dripping wet right off the boat, so she really, it's her birthday today too.
Oh, right,
it's
a special day for
her. Let's put her on the air and let's listen to what someone dripping wet sounds like. How about that?
All right, let's bring her on, she literally just got off the boat. Hello?
Hi, welcome to the show, how are you feeling?
Great, how are you?
I'm jealous. I'm not jealous of the 3.5-4 day trip out there so much as I am of what it's like to get there and have calm weather and to be able to get into the ocean.
Yeah, it's really beautiful out here. We've had a great day out in the field today.
Have you been there before?
No, this is my first time in the monument.
I tell you what, from your heart and from your soul, try to describe it to us. It's radio.
Well, today was absolutely spectacular. The corals up here are striking. Some species we don't even have in the main Hawaiian Islands. The fish are abundant and colorful and diverse. And then you look down and there's all these beautiful invertebrates weaving in and out of the coral reef. So it's really special, I think, for everyone on board to be able to do their work out here.
Okay. Are you a good swimmer?
I'm okay.
And are you scuba or are you mask and snorkel?
I'm scuba diving off the trip.
Wow. Oh, man. Then again, if you haven't been there, which I have, and Andy has, and you guys are, you really have no idea what we're talking about here. Like, imagine an expanse of beautiful ocean, like the old America song, the ocean is a desert with its life underground, and you go right through that lens, and you are in the Amazon jungle of the ocean. Would that kind of
like
describe it a little bit, Maya? Megan?
I didn't catch that last part.
Anyway, go on further. Give us a few. I'm interested in the human interaction with God and nature that occurs out there. It must be amazing.
It's the birds are really beautiful as well. Everything underwater has been really memorable to see. I don't think my words are really doing justice to what we see when we go out, but very special to be out here.
Are you looking forward to getting back, to heading out to your favorite restaurant, or seeing the people that you can't see, or getting your feet on land?
I'm so wrapped up in being out here that I haven't really thought about what it will be like when we get back and we're on land again.
It's going to feel really
neat. We've
had
a lot of fun in the water. I mean, I kind of wish we could just be out here forever, just every day in the water and seeing new things.
It's amazing. Do you students pay to go out there? How do they choose you? Are you the smartest?
Well, on projects that they have in the monument. And the projects go through a really rigorous selection process, and the details of the project.
Okay, what is your project?
Well, so I don't have a project in the monument. I'm helping other students with theirs.
Wow. And you didn't have to pay. She didn't have to pay, Andy?
No.
Oh, man, now I'm even more jealous. What? People don't understand.
She's working.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that. And Andy, when you say she's working, explain that.
Well, you know, it's beautiful, and they get to see a place on Earth that very few people get to see. But it is hard. You're doing 3 dives a day. You're going out, 7 o'clock in the morning out on the boats. If the weather is really nice, it's relatively easy. But a lot of time the weather's not. You're getting banged around on these zodiacs. Sometimes the water is so intense you have to wear your snorkel and mask on the boat because the water is just like coming. You can't barely breathe. And then you get to your site. You got to do a dive. And then count the corals, and you come back up, and then you get you gas off, and then you go diving again, and you go diving again, and it's spectacular, believe me. But it is after 30 days of that, it gets a little hard.
There's no hyperbaric chamber on the boat, is there?
There is the hyperbaric chamber. Wow. And then they come back and they eat dinner and then they got to enter data all night long on their computers.
Okay, one more time now. Yeah. How long do you single tank or double tank these dives?
You just single tank dives.
So you're in the water no more than 40 minutes.
Yeah, 40 minutes. Yeah.
And how much of the study is being done at depths below 80 feet, say?
Not much, because we don't get much bottom time. So we do have expeditions that go to deeper reefs, and they have to decompress at other depths. But this particular expedition, they're focusing on shallower reefs, 60 feet depth and is average.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Carly, what have you guys found? Now, you've been out there, you've been collecting data for probably 10 days or 11 days. Can you give us a report on the health and the checkup of the expedition?
Sure. One of the projects that I'm helping on is looking at coral disease in the monument. And we've done a bunch of different surveys, and it looks like, you know, some corals have some disease, but it's not overwhelming. And then the other project I'm helping on is a project looking at bioerosion. And Nissa, who has bioerosion blocks, is picking up blocks that she put out last year. And we've had a lot of success with that project as well. And for people who don't know what bioerosion is...
Thank you.
When a coral dies, worms and sponges and other invertebrates go into that dead coral and make holes, and they erode away that dead coral. And that's what we mean when we talk about bioerosion.
That's not a bad thing, is it? They're using it for shelter?
It's a natural
process. Like a hermit crab or something?
Yeah, sometimes we find crabs that are rooting away into the dead coral.
Sea urchins. A lot of sea urchins are major bio-eroders as well.
What about crown of thorns? Is the water too cold for that reef eater?
We have seen crown of thorns on some of our dives, yeah. So they are up here.
Okay, for all those out there now, the crown of thorns was supposed to destroy the planet at one point. The cry rang out that it was going to eat the barrier reef, right?
Yeah.
And has it done that?
Some areas it has, and some areas it hasn't. And it exists. It's a natural component of most reefs. It just in certain areas, its populations have gone overboard, partially related to imbalance in the ecosystem. So it's other influences that change their natural habitat that caused them to overpopulate.
I tell you what, should we take this to the macrocosm? Because we can talk about the little worms living in there, and we could talk about the extinction of the human race. The extinction of the human race could be achieved in many ways. if we don't do it to ourselves, we'll do it to ourselves anyway. The only thing that we're not going to, the only way we get out of that is if the comet comes in, okay? If the meteor comes in and wipes us all out, we're innocent. But otherwise, it's all about us. We're going to do it to ourselves if it ends up that way. And the easiest way to do it, of course, is to destroy the health of an ocean.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And, of course, they always refer to the reef systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to know, you know, how many polyps are polyping at the same time or seals are being born. But in the bigger perspective, aren't we taking a broad picture and starting to collect earth science data on our own survival of humanity?
Yeah. This is what it's about. A lot of the surveys are about that because the ocean performs vital functions. It cleans our air, provides oxygen for us to live, absorbs carbon dioxide from the emissions and everything. It regulates the atmosphere of the planet.
All right. Now, I'm under the impression that the reef is the cornerstone of the food chain. Anybody want to explain that? Carly?
Hey, Josh. It's Carly here. I do think that the coral reef is the cornerstone of the food chain because it provides habitat for most of the marine organisms up here. Without the reef, you don't have anything. You don't have the invertebrates. You don't have the fish. I mean, the corals are so important, and that's why there's so much emphasis on monitoring these important reef systems up here in the monument. I mean, it's important to have a baseline to understand what the health of them are now, and so
I'm under the impression that obviously human effect by the atmosphere and the ocean absorbing more CO2 is, you know, I've had the guys from Station Aloha in here a few times. Mm-hmm. They won the Cozzarelli Award for their report, which showed a complete correlation between what's happening in the atmosphere is in the ocean. The graphs read identical.
Yep, mirror the same.
And basically that if the acidity gets too much, it's going to be the corals that are affected.
Yep.
And in a bigger picture, do you think some of this data that you're collecting up there, Carly, is going to help us make those big decisions to reduce the CO2 emissions from our factories and our fossil fuels?
Well, that's the idea. I mean, we hope that, you know, people will pay attention. I mean, coral reefs are very fragile, and we're very lucky here in Hawaii. We haven't seen a lot of depletion of our reefs like other places in the world that have seen major, major declines, and we want to keep it that way, that our reefs stay healthy.
I tell you what, I just came back from the Philippine Sea, and you can go many, many places in Southeast Asia, for instance, the coral, the haven of coral.
Coral Triangle.
Highest and you'll see huge areas destroyed just by dynamite from fishing, mm-hmm. let alone the coral bleaching from the warming of the ocean waters due to the warming of the atmosphere.
Yep.
It's a huge, 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 huge thing, and thanks you. I want to congratulate you guys for getting up there and putting your 2 cents in and what you're doing up there in the macrocosm. And it sure must be a lot of fun, huh, Cardi?
It's amazing, and it's the most important thing is it's so rewarding. I mean, it really is a fantastic place, and I'm so lucky to be able to bring this place to the people and share with you guys what our incredible scientists are doing up here.
Okay. Congratulations on the good weather. Keep it up. Enjoy the rest of your trip. Be safe. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Great.
And congratulations on your beautiful career. Thank you so much again, Carly Weiner. She came to us. Her job, interesting enough, Andy, is education.
Yep, education outreach.
And so here we are, you know, able to. Carly, you're going to have to hang up, huh? We're getting some kind of a feedback on your phone line.
Okay, great.
We'll aloha.
Aloha, Carly.
So there it is. And I mean, to some people out there, you're fascinated by this radio show, and to others, you changed the channel a long time ago.
Hopefully not.
Well, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I had an
care. Come on,
Andy. I used to care. Okay, and I had an epiphany a few days ago, and I realized this is all about me. I care that I get the education I'm getting because I'm fascinated by it, which explains why I don't get paid to do it. Why would I do it not get paid? And do I have the time? Yeah. So I do it not to get paid. I do it because it fascinates me, and I really believe that knowing more about reality, and in this case, facts and data on the lifespans and which directions a health of any organism is going, in this case, our reef systems worldwide,
yeah,
it means something.
It's important.
And then obviously it all comes down into the end, the voting booth,
mm-hmm.
because you've got to have the politicians to push this legislation to take the science and data and say, you know, for instance, atmospheric climate change, right? And the CO2 that we've released by prematurely cutting down trees and rainforests and then burning them, let alone pulling up all this algae that is now in the form of oil, which is just pure CO2. Turns out this stuff is wonderful. You set it on fire and boom, it goes. So we did that for so long. And now it's a proven fact. And if you go anywhere else in the world but America, the whole world realizes that climate change is huge. The entire Asian Development Bank conference a couple months back, I was over there to see it in Manila, is all about climate change and how it's going to affect the weather patterns and the farming patterns and the blah, blah.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are getting somewhat enough of tree huggers to appreciate that. Okay.
And or coral huggers, for that matter.
Coral huggers. Same smell. All right. I want to thank you for coming in, Andy.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to do it again. Now, when Carney comes back, she'll host her own show and let me go to work one day. And for those of you out there interested, I have got Ray Starling coming in live tomorrow. We'll spend an hour talking about how you can take advantage of your money that they collect off electric bills and then pass it out to those who want to go green at the Hawaii Energy, hawaiienergy.com. And it relates to me as your solar guy because I get $750 to help offset your costs from them. And then they inspect every system statewide. I will toot my horn that we were the number one in first-place inspections. Right when I say we, I'm talking about the solar company. If you have any questions about solar, I may digress. You call me. I'll put one on your home. It's what we're good at. Roof penetration and taxes. On Friday, again, it's very interesting. Whole Foods will be in, and we're not going to talk about sustainable food and buy local. We're going to talk about how they air-condition their building, which is the number one expenditure in most buildings, HVAC. From the sun, solar air conditioning on commercial level with Lumen Solar. Huh. Lumen Solar, aloha, sponsors on my show. Your solar guy, Jeff, leaving you. And I shall return. I hope you like the ukulele. You find me at Your Solar Guy on Facebook and Twitter. You want to get to me personally, 554-7200. What is that called, Andy?